Hi, listener. This is Hartley, and I want to tell you about my new podcast I'm debuting in 2 months. It's called Side of Fries, and it will be an ongoing discussion about French fries.
French fries?
Really?
No.
Well, we might talk about French fries because we will be discussing food on Side of Fries. F-R-I-E-S. We will talk food trucks, restaurants. We will interview restaurateurs, chefs, cooks, foodies, the experience of eating in the establishment. Oh my, that E took on some alliteration, and it's getting so thick it's spilling over into the S and multiplying it as well to include snacks and sweets, but S really represents smorgasbord, not in terms of an appetizer buffet per se, but also the entire spread of food, critique, and recommendations my co-host Judd LaFrans and I will lay out on the table for you. Judd and I will discuss food in Columbia, Missouri and the surrounding region, as well as southern Iowa. We can't ignore our cashew chicken fans of Springfield. We're going to talk about KC food, St. Louis, and beyond. And the best part is you will get a say in the content we provide. This podcast is called Side of Fries, and you can look for our preview episodes in April 2024 on your favorite streaming platform. If you enjoy listening to Faith, Finances, and F-Bombs, help us out and tell someone about it. Or better yet, post a review or a comment. You can find us on social media, searching Faith, Finances, and F-Bombs, and tweet us at Faith Money Bomb. Kevin and I are both on Facebook, and you can leave a comment via email f.bombs@hartleywright.com. We hope you'll spread the word, and thanks. Now, let's get on with this episode.
Welcome to the Faith, Finances, and F-Bombs podcast, where we inspire you to manage your money, find your soul, and cover your ears.
Well, Kevin, this is our 40th episode. Yeah. Listener, we thank you for joining us. I mean, we sort of had a dress rehearsal for this episode, and it's not the first time. I think this has happened three times. Yeah, it's the first one you know about, listener. We have had three. That was our third time. I think our very first episode, we recorded in my home. And it was a fine recording, but I didn't like it. So I said, let's just scratch that and we'll do another one. Then there was a time when we moved into another site temporarily, right, and we only had one microphone recorded for us. So one of us sounded fine and the other one sounded like we were in a completely different room. And so that got scrapped. So those two episodes are, we still have them, but they are not published.
Okay.
And then yesterday, so after that second thing, so the first one happened, our very first episode. The second time, we were like four or five, maybe six episodes in. And so that was the end of 22 when we started. So we hired a few people for production staff so that wouldn't happen again. And then our engineer, Claude Rains, had family concerns. So he asked if he could be invisible for the day. I said, that's fine. No problem, Claude. I got it. And then I forgot to hit record.
It's critical that you hire people who have expertise in these fields.
That's exactly right. And then you don't give them the time off when you really need them. Because I thought I could handle one simple thing of just hitting record and it didn't happen. So it is the entertainment industry. And every now and then you have a rehearsal. And so we may or may not get to F-bombs today. Although I had a new one happen this morning that just really set me off. Maybe I should
Maybe we should cover that.
Maybe I should start with that because
do that, then we'll do financial.
Listener, we're just going to hit the ground running.
Hit it, baby. Give me an F-bomb that is fresh in your heart.
With one friend, we just communicate back and forth, and we will abbreviate with thumbs up and just send that emoji. It means something when he sends me the thumbs up, means something when I send him the. Well, for the first time this morning, just like 2 hours ago, I needed to send a thumbs down to communicate with him. When I searched for my emoji on my phone to be thumbs down, it was a black hand. And that set me off, man. I said, that is racism. Because so this is why it set me off. I'm thinking of the Harvard. There's a site that Harvard has where you can go on and take a quick test at your computer that will determine your prejudices and biases with certain types of interactions you may have. And so one of them is dealing on your preference in interactions with people.
Okay.
And so when you take that study and you read and you learn those things, a lot of things that are associated with that have to do with this nature of we take positive things and use symbols and monikers, or we place that with white people, and anything that is negative or will create or evoke a negative response, we use symbols and monikers that identify and represent Black people. So that's what I instantly felt when I searched for the thumbs down emoji and it was a Black hand. It didn't bother me that it was a Black hand. What set me off was it was a Black hand that had a thumbs down, and I could not find a Black hand that was a thumbs up.
I got you.
I just felt that was racist.
Because the thumbs down is associated with negativity, and it was a Black thumbs down.
It was
down.
A Black thumbs down.
And you, it could, would not you have couldn't find the opposite side of the Black thumbs up, which would be right. More of a positivity.
Right.
All right. I got you.
That's serious, America. Oh, now I pulled a Bernie mag. Didn't he have, how did he die?
Because I want to say natural causes, but I'm not sure.
I think it probably was. And his death happened. I didn't even know it when it was on the radar. I'm sure that was like quite some time ago.
Yeah, he's been gone a while.
Yeah, he has.
It's funny how those sneak up on you. You're like, well, it's like we talked about Ted Turner before. I thought he was dead. You're
right.
Like, no, he's 84. Yeah. I'm like, oh, I thought he was dead.
Bernie Mac was funny.
Did he start as a
comedian, or was he just always an actor?
No,
obviously, I know nothing about Bernie Mac. I don't know when he was born. I don't know what his career was. I don't know when he died. I know certain things he was in, and that's it.
If I had to guess, he was stand-up, went into acting, and then did both.
That is the assumption that I'm making, but I don't know if the assumption is safe.
As of Friday, we had our 14th record close. We're on pace today to have our 15th. We've got testimony from Chairman Powell. I guess I'll just break this down in the Reader's Digest version because it's 2 days of testimony. He essentially has said, we look like we're done raising rates. Remember, we've gone full circle, right?
Full circle, yes.
We're going to cut rates 6 times. Then all of a sudden, it's like, uh-oh, inflation's not under control. Now they're going to raise rates and blah, blah, blah. He has now testified, we're done raising rates. To his credit, he's still not saying, we're going to start rate cuts on this day and we're going to have this many. Now all the speculation begins based on his testimony. They look at every word he chooses because at this stage in the game, the chairman, when they testify, are very calculated in what they say and what words they use, because they know all of this happens once the release is out there and people start trying to guess.
Correct.
So to his credit, he has said, we're going to wait and see what the data does. He has suggested we will have a rate cut starting in the fall. I don't know what that means.
Right.
There's no way to know. August 1st, is that September? Who knows?
Yeah. But, or is it like mid-November?
Yeah, could be anything.
Right.
And vague on purpose, because you don't want Wall Street to use your words against you. Testimony suggested the economy is fairly strong. So for all of you that continue to believe we're in a recession, I don't know how to convince you otherwise. There's no data that suggests
we've been
that.
Telling you and telling you and telling you.
We're like 18
so,
months now.
So, you know, we've repeated it many times.
If you don't
you either
believe
trust
me,
us as a source or you do not.
Or you don't trust Chairman Powell, if that's where you're at. Okay, but I don't know who else. I mean, maybe you trust Larry Kudlow. He has said
some people do
in a recession.
Although he was, that's right. He was wrong.
The interviewer said he was wrong about being wrong.
Yeah,
when he said I'm wrong, she said, no, you weren't.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, okay.
Yeah.
He was wrong about being wrong, apparently. Two wrongs do make a right in this case.
Yeah.
Corporate profits are up. Inflation is not near the target, but getting closer. We could go on forever about all the minutiae within the complex economic system, but that's the big picture. So let's just close that book out and go on to what we tried to do yesterday. Yes,
that's right. What we started to do yesterday. I would quickly like to say I went back and watched that Kudlow clip. That was funny. Listener, you can catch that clip. You can do it quickly if you just go to our show notes from the episode.
Oh, perfect.
Two episodes back, there's a link to it there. But one other note, because I know that this always affects the market, but clearly no one is in the Republican race but Trump.
Yeah,
now.
He's the one. Some wants to say he's the chosen one.
Don't say that. Chosen one. Why do you got to go there?
I'm just quoting what some of his supporters have said.
I'm already worked up about racism.
Okay.
My heart rate is not coming down. Remind me, because I just don't keep close memory of this. See, he won in 16. He was president from 16 to 20.
Yeah.
How did the market do then? Was it mostly what you would expect, or did it? I just can't remember.
I'll tell you what. We will do in future episodes. I was at a luncheon a week ago Thursday. The people presenting it was First Trust Portfolios out of, we'll say Chicago, because some people won't know where Wheaton is.
Oh, I love Wheaton.
Well, all right, let's just go Wheaton then.
Yeah.
So they're Wheaton, Illinois. They are a data-based financial company. They do have some products that they sell, and that's how I came to know them. But they gave us a excellent glossy photo. Here's data. It's all about election years.
Oh, that's good. That's so good to have.
Instead of speculating and saying, hey, do you remember blah, blah, blah? Yeah. So I now feel a mission because of what I've gone through in 12, 16, and 20 about misinformation that's out there about if a Democrat wins, if a Republican wins, if we have a Republican Congress, all those combos.
Right.
We now have a verifiable data source where I can say, here's what happens.
That is awesome.
But to address your question, when Trump won in 16, the market was down in 18. So that wasn't a carryover from the Obama years because he'd already been president since inauguration day of 17. Negative, not bad. 20, outside of his control. Can't control COVID.
Exactly.
International pandemic. Had a big drop when we closed down the economy starting in February, end of February in 20. Hundreds of billions of dollars of financial stimulus went into the economy.
Right. That's right.
So 2020 ended up positive.
Right.
So three of his 4 years, it was positive. And the down year wasn't significant.
Okay.
6%-ish on the S&P 500. So overall, 3 out of 4 years up, definitely positive during his presidency.
Yeah, so yet another more verification, affirmation, confirmation, never to approach your financial situation with emotions.
Absolutely not.
The reason I bring up that political thing is because that people get so emotionally charged and affected and have anxiety and they just get really energized in some, whether positive or negative, about political.
Yeah, we're 8 months out from the actual election, and it's already seeping into the consciousness.
Exactly,
They're either really excited or they're really anxious, depending on how they think this is going to play out.
Right.
And I'm just here to tell you, it's not going to matter.
It really isn't, yeah.
And I will back that up with data in future episodes, because I feel a mission to do this year, just because of my previous experience with presidential elections and all the misconceptions about it.
Well, that's good. That's important for our listener to hear. And
because we're a source of reason here.
That's exactly right. If people would just...
If we can calm one person down, then our mission is complete.
Moving on to the faith side of things, we are in the season of Lent. We will be until Easter. 2 episodes ago, I encouraged and invited listeners to take up prayer. As I thought about that, the topic I chose was to just talk about answered prayer and my accident and the prayers that happened in that event and everything that surrounded that and during that time. From the whole premise, seeing tangible proof of prayers being answered as a result of my surviving the accident and the miraculous recovery, unbelievable recovery that happened. In 39 published episodes, we have mentioned my accident here and there, very, very few times, however. I just felt like God was just saying, look, tell part of my story. So this kind of fit for our podcast episode today, and it's in the season of Lent, because this can be an encouragement to say for anyone who's skeptical about praying or just feeling like I'm not sure God is there, that he's going to respond, that he even hears. This might be an encouragement to that. So I thought, at the risk of sounding arrogant by saying I'm tangible proof.
Well, in your defense, I don't know how else you classify it.
I really don't.
Forget about the self-centeredness or the arrogance or however you want to. What else is it? It's not luck. Yeah, so let's do this. I'm going to fire some questions at you.
Okay.
And almost like an interview now.
All right.
So first of all, let's start with, when was it? Give us some description of what was going on, and then let's paint me a picture, or the listener a picture. What are we talking about when we talk about your accident?
In 2015, I began working part-time, delivering concrete and driving a cement mixer. And on August 5th, 2021, I was traveling south on Highway 63, south of Columbia, Missouri, approaching Ashland, Missouri, when a dump truck driver exiting onto the highway forced me from my lane. I had cameras that were inside the cab and outside of the truck that enabled people who viewed that footage to verify that I did everything right. I maneuvered safely. I did everything possible to keep everyone around me safe. But as a result of being forced from my lane, the cement mixer rolled onto the highway. My left arm was trapped under the cab. It was a very, very violent crash.
So these cameras, they are standard operating procedure for vehicles of that nature.
They were for the company that I worked for.
Okay.
Because it was part of their safety protocol.
Got it. This is not required by law. This is a choice not this
required.
Has made.
It's not required by law. It was a choice that the company had made.
Perhaps critical in our evaluation of your event is the fact that other people made good decisions as well.
Having those cameras in place.
Yeah. I mean, there's no requirement for it.
Oh, that's right.
They've chosen to do this
for
their own reasons. And I would suggest not by coincidence or luck. That's what I'm saying.
Many things
happened way before you took the wheel in your hand that day. So now you're in the cement mixer.
Yes.
Driving. Accident happens.
My left arm is pinned.
Yep.
The other injuries I sustained was a broken neck, a broken left clavicle, 11 broken ribs, a broken sternum, a left vertebrae torn artery, a blood clot formed in my aorta, and then I had head trauma. As a result of my head trauma, I have two permanent conditions. One is called Horner's syndrome. I only perspire on one side of my face. My pupil is much smaller than my right pupil. My eyelid droops more than the other. I do have high dollar drops that I put in. The eye drops actually work to stimulate the eyelid so that it lifts the eyelids. Listen, ladies, if you want a deal, just get in touch with me. And then another permanent condition I have is called BPPV, benign paroxysmal positional vertigo.
I don't know why I just thought of this. Can you tell us the tonnage that was in your mixer when you tip?
I was carrying a full load, which for my company was 9 yards of concrete.
The whole 9 yards.
The whole that's right.
That's where it comes from.
I had the whole 9 yards.
Read that in Uncle John's bathroom reading.
Yeah. I had between 60,000-65,000 pounds.
So that, 32 to 33 tons.
Right. That came crashing down and literally came crashing in my arm. And let's just take it a step further. The drum that is mixing the concrete extends wider than the cab. So when the truck falls, the drum hits first. The cab then takes quite an assault because it's kind of like a rubber band. It snaps down onto the ground, and it's hard for me to believe that it did not hit the ground and bounce up and then hit the ground again. How the physics would happen in that. So
that's a lot of weight coming down.
That's a lot of weight. Thanks for bringing that up. Now I'm already worked up about racism.
I had not thought about the actual weight until we were talking about this, but I assumed it was massive.
Yeah, it was.
Now, because I'm a numbers guy, you've let me capture it in my mind like, holy cow.
Yeah, it was another reason why I say it was a very, very violent crash. Mm-hmm. And I spun 360. As it skidded on the highway.
Wow. All right, so you are finally extricated. I assume you go into an ambulance, transport you to the hospital. What happens next?
I'm in basically emergency trauma. I went to a level one.
And they've been waiting for you, I assume, because at some point someone called and said, as soon as we get him out.
You were implying earlier about the security cameras being, let's just say, God ordained. I have been told that following behind me, two or three or four car lengths back, was a Missouri highway patrolman who witnessed the accident, called it in immediately. EMTs arrived on the scene at 10 o'clock. I'm in the hospital at 11:30. So it's almost midday. I was in that ER with them treating me and taking care of my injuries for about 3 hours.
Wow. So they work to evaluate all your injuries
and treat everything
together, kind of almost like a triage situation.
Oh yeah. Very, very triage. When I'm on the way to the hospital, I give permission to be intubated because I just could not breathe. Some people may know what a pneumothorax is. I had pneumothorax, air coming in between your lungs and the rest of your chest cavity. So I needed chest tubes. So that's part of the triage.
All right. So now you're in the hospital. At some point, notification goes out to Kelly.
Yes.
What percent of people involved in an accident like that die?
I would say 100%.
Except for
99.9. I mean, it is not, there is not a snowball's chance in hell that a man crashes the way that I did and survives.
Yeah.
If I were told about this accident, statistically
speaking,
does not happen.
At what point were you aware of the severity of your crash?
I'm going to guess you mean to be fully present and fully aware. I would say
to realize what you lived through.
It might have been just inside of a week. I mean, I'm aware that it's pretty serious because I've got a neck brace on. I can't move my arm, my hand.
You've been in the hospital for days.
I've been in the hospital for days. It really hit me when Kelly's talking to me one morning and she says, we got a voice message from Scott and Claire, our friends who live in Michigan. And she plays this voice message where they just simply prayed. and had this long prayer just talking about God taking care of me and these injuries that sustain and praying that I survive and, mm-hmm. and pray. I mean, just the depth and level of their prayer really sent like a wave of almost a cold chill through me. Like, wow, this is whatever it is, whatever I look like, 'cause I still hadn't really seen myself. I thought I was paralyzed, mm-hmm. but then I realized I wasn't. So it was kind of like, okay, that's all right. But then I'm listening to this voicemail and it's kind of like this terror comes over me like, oh my God, what has happened?
Yeah.
How bad is this? How long is my recovery going to be? And Kelly was told it was going to be 24 hours after I arrived. I guess it would be day two. Things looked really grim. It looked like I wasn't going to make it.
And that's what
it
we
was
heard.
Going to be bad. Yeah. It was going to be like, I was not going to survive.
Yeah.
Then on day three, a nurse told Kelly, hey, listen, he is going to make it, but his recovery is going to be very, very, very long and very hard. And it's going to be a very, very long, hard recovery. So that's what she was told.
Yeah.
And so now I'm listening to this and that's when I start thinking about, I didn't know she had been told that at the time, but in my mind, I'm thinking, my God, how bad is this?
Yeah.
When I've got that wave of terror listening to this prayer, I'm thinking, how bad is this? What do I look like? What does my recovery look like?
Mm-hmm. What would be your best guess as to how many people were praying for you and Kelly? I mean, the whole family.
This is going to sound high. This is going to sound unreal. This is going to sound, you know, somebody's going to call the BS sensor on me. But I'm going to say maybe 1,500, 2,000 people. And here's why I say that. When I'm in the hospital, I'm thinking, I know I'm praying. I know Kelly's praying. I know our kids are praying. And I'm assuming our extended family is praying. And so obviously, because we are not only faith-based people, we are church-attending people. I'm also thinking about people in church are praying because...
I'm a numbers guy. I can usually spot bullshit pretty quick. When you say 1,500 to 2,000, I think you're underestimating.
Is that right?
Yeah. For some of the things you just said, for those of you that don't know, Woodcrest at one time had a pretty consistent weekend population of 2,500-ish. Kelly and Hartley have been involved for a number of years. So if you think about just that one church, 1,500 would seem like, okay, 60% of that population is praying for them. I would guess it's probably closer to 90% of that population is praying for it. But then you think about the interactions you've had.
Because of how much they love Kelly, right? They don't want Kelly to lose me, not necessarily. I'm being facetious.
I know you
That's really unfair. It's really not appropriate for me to joke like that. So,
but if you think about that one unit, and then you think about the social connectivity you had over your lifetime and your extended families and just general based community that may not have had any interaction with you.
Correct.
Let's say the Crossing or any of the other. Wait, what was the one pastor that you pastored at church, Center Point or something?
Cornerstone.
Okay.
Here in Columbia.
So you take all of those places that you've left a footprint. It would not surprise me if you are missing this by an exponential number.
It's very possible because here's what I learned later. I did not think about the friends of friends and then their friends who didn't know me.
Yeah.
And they're friends of their friends. You get this news, it's alarming. Oh my gosh, yes, I'm going to pray. And so they pray, and then other people pray. I also did not think about, because you and I have certain feelings about social media and Facebook. We've always had those dating way back to like 2000.
Whenever it came out.
Yes, right. I'll just say it this way. I don't travel Facebook the way that, even for someone who does not embrace social media that much, I probably travel it less than that. Kelly travels it more. And in this case, because of social media, there were connections and friends that I had made and known throughout my lifetime, but had lost touch with, that were definitely all over America and scattered throughout the globe. And through this network, there were people that were praying, and then their friends and family to this point. So we have friends, Nick and Chloe. I met Nick when he was here. He came as an intern. He was studying to be a pastor in the UK. He came here, spent some time. I met him here. When I traveled to the UK several years ago, spent time with he and Chloe and his kids. When my family took a spring break trip there several years later, introduced the family. We spent some time with Nick and Chloe and the kids. I mean, we spent a day and a half. They are in London. They communicate with Kelly on Facebook that says, hey, we can't imagine your anxiety, your stress, all of these things that you're going through. We know that you're worried about Harley, but we know it's important for you to get sleep. So your nighttime is our daytime. So you go to sleep peacefully knowing that we've got Hartley covered and we will pray all day long. Now, I don't want to assume it was only Nick and Chloe. I'm sure
I think
because
that would be an error
because
assume.
He pastors a church in London.
Right.
And so I'm sure there were members of his congregation that were praying because he, as their pastor, requested them to pray.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why I think you're probably underestimated, maybe by a factor of 10, maybe by a factor of 100.
I have no idea.
Trust me, I'm a math guy.
I will trust you.
Okay. Well, let's just fast forward this, and then we can fill in the gaps. Did you or did you not tell me you met someone at church recently?
Yes.
That said she heard about your deal. Can you go through that?
Yeah, this happens frequently. So this accident now, we're just past 2.5 years ago that this accident happened. Last week, I was in the lobby after a church service, just hanging out to see and talk with people. A young woman comes up to me, starts to talk to me. We talk about how her day is going. We talk about how great God is. We talk about the blessings of God. It's just the more we talk, the more joyous she gets and the more emotional she becomes. Naturally, I'm concerned. She assures me that her tears and her emotions are not because of any anguish. It's not because there's anything wrong. It's simply because she was delighted to see me and to talk with me. And she introduces herself to me at that time. So we're having this conversation. I have no idea who she is.
She knows.
And we're 10 minutes into this conversation. And she says, can I give you a hug? After she says, I'm just so glad to see you. I said, yeah. She said, can I give you a hug? She squeezes me real tight. And then she says, you don't know me, but I am a friend of, and she told me who she was a friend of, which was a good friend of Kelly's. I was told about your accident. I prayed for you and your recovery was inspiring to me. And when I see you, it just overwhelms me. And that's when we talked about how we do not get many opportunities. And it's like I say on our podcast when I'm talking about faith issues, there are so many things that is the mystery. When you're dealing with God, you're talking about a mystery. There's so many things that are mysterious to it. And there's so many things that you have to have faith by, you know, in your heart and in trust because you don't have faith by sight. And there's so many things that seem illogical and there's so many things that you just can't get a grasp on. We can't even really conceive, right? And because it's so mysterious. And this is one of those mysterious ways. So I talked with her and I said, we do not get many opportunities where we see something or someone that is tangible proof that God answers prayer.
I will say amen to that. I know we don't do a lot of amen on this podcast.
That may be the first one.
I think you're right, but I agree with that 100%.
Well, just as prayer tends to end with an amen, so too shall this episode end on an amen. I can't think of a better place to wrap this episode up than right there where we are right now. The conversation does continue. Perhaps some point in the future, we'll release that as an extended conversation available later this month, possibly. We need to give our members their exclusive content so they always have first crack at anything that is beyond what we provide for you. Listener, I hope that this has been a meaningful episode for you, significant in some way, especially if indeed you are taking up prayer or allowing prayer to enhance your life more than it normally does in this season of Lent. May God be with you. May God bless you. Thank you for joining us. Please join us again. We're glad you're here. We're always glad you're here. And we look forward to you joining us again on our next episode of Faith, Finances, and F-Bombs. Have a great day.